All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September the 20th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. Got up this morning, did my walk, and I'm here to tell you it is special out. Beautiful day. Hope everyone's having a great day. I thought I would sit down. It is Wednesday. And schedule's a little different this week, not paddling, taking a break. I've been reading, oh my God, it's starting, right? Big race this weekend, looking at the weather. I just had somebody sent me something that said, very windy, high 72, very windy, some clouds, humid with a chance of rain. Watch for unusually rough surf. And what's it, last part? And rip currents. Okay. And that is from Brigantine, New Jersey on Sunday. The devil just showed up, right? The devil's here. Let's have a conversation with the devil, right? Let's have a conversation with my lower power. Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know what to do. I mean, whatever, right? Whatever. It's all good. We're going to New Jersey. It should be interesting. I'm hoping. I'm pleased. I'm praying. Okay, here's my prayer. Dear Lord, please don't let there be high winds and high waves on this race, right? I do not feel like having, I don't find that fun, right? I'm in it, right? I am in it. I am down. I'm all about the suffering, but I just don't feel like doing 12 miles in a rough ocean. But the reality is today is Wednesday, and that is next Sunday, and there is a chance that things can get better. I'm just, great. Hey, why not a great lesson for today? Let's stay in the moment. Remind myself, right? These are the tools that I have. Stay in the day. It'll be fine, right? As long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, Tom, it'll all work out.
Scared of my own ceiling, scared I'll die of uncertainty. Fear might be the death of me, fear leads to anxiety. Don't know what's inside of me. Don't forget about me.
Yeah, great song. Doubt. I'm having doubts. 21 Pilots. Yeah, you know what? Whatever. It's going to be fine. I'm, I brought that up sort of because I've chatted with someone lately, someone that's been sort of new to the program. I see this, whether it's this guy or many other people that come in and, get to a few months, right, and just are like pulling their hair out, not figuring it out, not always feeling better. Not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, not understanding, right? Not, a lot of people come in, with something over their head, right? A court case or jail time or losing everything or obviously losing our license or whatever. And we come in and, we're in save our ass mode. And unfortunately, that's a tough mode to be in when we're trying to save our ass, because who's behind saving our ass, right? Self. And we come in, I don't want to overuse the word victim, but we come in a little victim-y, right? We come in a little beat up and, we're trying to save our ass. And once, a lot of the times that sort of settles down and then, it doesn't turn out to be as bad as we thought it was going to be. Or it turns out to be bad. I don't know. But a lot of the times it's not as bad, especially if it's your first DUI. You know, I'm not an attorney, right? But I had a DUI, and I remember I got an attorney, and he's like, you don't need an attorney. You're going to – I mean, listen, everybody's case was different. I just was driving drunk, right? I blew up. I don't know. I was just barely – I think a 0.10, right? Just barely over. But I was over. I was drunk. She could have been – could have caught me any other night and could have been way drunker, right? So I don't want to seem like I'm not minimizing it. It was what it was. Believe me, I was headed towards drinking more. I just got caught on the way to do it. So, but I remember, and the guy's like, you don't need a lawyer. You just file, first offenders program, same song and dance as most of us. We end up going to the alcohol, well, I forget what they even call it now, but a program, right? I don't know if it's 10, 12 weeks. I've shared many times about how I did that program and chose not to follow the directions and the suggestions, and I did not get my license back, right? That should have been a good sign that I was very self-centered, right? So, but, you know, that all fades, right? I remember the first night, you're like, oh my God, my life is over. And the process happens, and we get a little better, and we finally do our court cases and whatever, and then, you know, we're sentenced to whatever it is. Usually it's probation, right? Go to these classes, a curfew, whatever it is, but it's not that bad. Right. And once all that sort of settles in, then you actually have to decide if really you're here or whatever it is that you are doing to try to improve your situation. If you're really here because you really want to improve your situation, or if you just wanted to improve your judicial situation, right? And a lot of the times it was that. The judicial situation. We want to look for the judge. We don't want to go to jail. Nobody wants to go to jail, right? We don't want all these bad things to happen to us. So, you know, and then you're sort of left trying to figure out if this is really what you want. And most of us know it's what we need, right? But trying to figure out if it's really what we want. And if it's not what we want and it's something that we have to do, we're sort of a victim of it, right? Because then it becomes something I have to do. And when you have to do it, you just don't look at it the same as when you get to do it. And so it's a challenge that a lot of us have. I've had it, right? I did not come into this program with a court case. I came in here with a smashed face, sort of the same thing. A shame, right? A lot of shame and guilt and embarrassment and pride. And, you know, and we come in really open to all suggestions, right? I'll do whatever it takes, right? And that's how I was, I guess. It's like getting on stepping on a long escalator, and you're just on it. You're like, wow, I didn't realize this is the thing. And you sort of go along with it, but eventually you get off that escalator, and you're sort of left to decide if it's really what you want. I chose to hang in there, right? You know, I felt like enough people came into my life early on in the program to kind of guide me, and that knew that there would be a time where I would come to that part where I'm like, do I really want to do this? And luckily I'd been surrounded by enough good people and sort of gotten into some new habits with going to meetings and sitting down with a sponsor and trying to work these steps and having little conversations and being around people trying to do the same thing. I was lucky enough to be in aftercare program, outpatient program, and that was for a year. And you know, I've always said I'm a people pleaser, so right, you give me a task and I will not fail. I didn't miss any of my outpatient programs. And part of that outpatient program was to go to meetings, right? And then I had also gotten a temporary sponsor, and his suggestion was go to a lot of meetings. And I was just surrounded, right? And so I did that for the first year. But it gets tough, right? Because we feel better, right? The stitches heal. The court cases go away. The probation ends. Hopefully you don't go to jail, but eventually we get out, right? And there we are. And it gets tough, right? And that's where it's where the rubber meets the road. Is this something that I really want? And this, you know, and that's kind of the place where I had to start understanding that this is not all about alcohol, right? Alcohol is a byproduct. Alcohol is just something that happens to a person like me. It could be alcohol. It could be food. It could be money. It could be sex. It can be big shotism. It's all a lot of things. It can be a combination of a few, right? But in the end, it's just that self-centered, a life of self-will. And it's hard to recognize. You know, I've shared before. I wasn't aware of it. And so, you know, I've watched people come in and you just sort of hope for the best. And I had a buddy call me last night and he was like, you know, I just am not well in my head. And, you know, the problem is that he's sort of been going through something like that. You know, it was, you know, whatever got him here, you know, he decided he would do all that he could to prove that he was sorry. And I've been there. I understand that. And he, you know, we do all we can do to prove that we're good people. You know, I don't know if anybody's been following that Danny Masterson case, the guy that accused and found guilty of raping women, right? Two women, I guess. And that's horrible, right? That is awful. And the people, Ashton, whatever, the people that were on the show, the 70s show with him, came out, right? And they wrote some letters, you know, trying to help him, you know, not be sentenced to what he was sentenced to, which I think was 30 years to life, right? And so they were character references. They came out and wrote letters saying, hey, man, this guy's a good guy, right? Well, that didn't work out too well. But it is a lot of the time the case, right? You know, it doesn't, maybe for not, I don't know that situation. I didn't know those people. But I know that the person that came in as far as me and how I looked and where as low as I had gotten wasn't really me, right? I'm grateful that, you know, I never got caught up in some, you know, that's why I've always been, you know, not that I ever wanted to be famous, but I, being famous, would have lost everything, right? It would have been a debacle. And so, but, you know, with the guy that came in here, it wasn't really the person that I was, right? And I just had to find him. And I had to clear out all of that self-centered shit that I'd been living on for so long. And, you know, I had better, I just needed to work. And luckily, I didn't go so low that I couldn't pull myself out of it, right? I went pretty low, right? I mean, I was involved in drugs and all sorts of shit. And I've shared, you know, I got busted and I went to jail and it sucked. I thought my world was coming to an end. And I'll never forget when that lady at this work release program told me, you will not be staying here. You are not going to be doing work release. You're going to a probation camp in the mountains. You're a piece of shit. And I was like, ah. And because I shared, you know, me and self had a plan, right? We're going, and it's that, you know, my period in California is some of the darkest self-centered portion of my life that I've ever been through. And I hope I never go through it again, but it was self-centered debauchery. I mean, I, you know, getting busted, continuing, you know, most people would be like, oh shit, you really are, you know, you've really been a piece of shit. You need to fucking change your ways. And obviously this is a big red flag, you know, when the cops kick in your door and take you away because of your behavior, that should be a red flag. That should be the moment you say, hey, wow, let's change our ways. I didn't. I was so deep into my addiction. I continued to use the next day, right? And I continued to use the whole time. That's why it's always amazing when people are busted and out on probation and get busted doing the same thing. That would have been me. I couldn't fucking get off. I couldn't get off that stuff. And I was telling me and myself had a plan. We were going to go to court, right? I remember I had to go to court the next day. I'm like, first when I got busted, I'm like, I quit, right? I'm done. That's it. And then the next day, I ended up getting high again and stayed high really all the way up to court. And I remember thinking, you know, I got court in a week. I really should try to clean up. I got high the day of court. Self's like, yeah, this will be fine, right? And so I had this whole plan. And I remember, you know, being sentenced and being told that day when I turned myself at work release, when I turned myself in high again, right? Still cannot seem to shake this freaking disease. And that lady said, you're not staying here. And I had an ultimate meltdown, calling my attorney, calling my parents, sons of bitches, you said, fuck you, just out of my mind. And I remember the attorney hanging up on me. He's like, well, this guy's fucking a dumb shit. It was my low point. Not the lowest, right? Not. It wouldn't be the only low point. It would be one of many, but it was a real... You know, and I look back at it and I I shake my head. I'm like, I can't believe that I became that person, right? And so, but the reality is that people remember me before those days. I had good character. I just got caught up in an addiction, right? And so, you know, but we're past all that, right? It doesn't matter who our characters. We've been sentenced. It is what it is. And we have to, you know, we've got to figure out, is this something that we want to continue with? And luckily I did. But I talk to people all the time that get to this point and really struggling. And, I'm, you know, my advice is like, just hang in there, right? It's the only difference that a person like I have that's been doing this for a while and a person that's new is just experience, right? And just knowledge of things and tools that we can use when we get to a certain situation. And the guy that I talked to last night, he was struggling. He was uncomfortable. He was unhappy. He was confused. He didn't know what to do, right? He had gotten to the point, right? And, you know, he went to a meeting last night and he shared it. And I talked to him this morning and he felt better, right? Sharing cuts that shit in half. You know, our disease does not want you to share. The disease wants you to keep it inside your head and just grind on it. And the reality is you got to sit down and you got to share it out. You got to let somebody know, this is the struggle I'm having. This is the pain I'm going through. This is the confusion I'm having. This is, you know, how I feel as far as hope and desire to do this. And, you know, I always say, you know, one of the first things that I had to admit is that I missed alcohol, right? For a long time, I thought if I said that out loud, it would mean that I want to get drunk. It doesn't. What it means is that I had a big relationship with that for a long time, and to be broken up with it, you know, and to not say, listen, I miss it. I realize I can't use it. I realize that it's not a thing for me, but I have to be honest, I miss it. And I, you know, I don't miss it today, but there was a big period. It was the longest relationship that I'd ever had, right? I had a long relationship with alcohol and drugs, and it brought me a lot of comfort, and it also brought me a lot of pain, and it brought a lot of people around me a lot of pain. But I couldn't see that at the time. And so, you know, just understanding, listen, I'm struggling. This is tough. You know, I'm coming to meetings. I'm writing things down. You know, that's the other thing is that, you know, and I talked about this the other day. You cannot be too important to get sober. You know, you can't have, because believe me, if you put, whatever you put in front of this program, you will lose. If it's your business, you'll lose it. If it's your relationship, you'll lose it. If it's your freedom, you'll lose it, right? If it's your the ability to go out and hang out with other people, and you put that in front of going to meetings and your recovery, you'll lose all those people, and you'll lose recovery. You'll lose it all, and so you gotta dive in, right? You gotta come to a lot of meetings, and you learn, right? And like I said to him this morning, this is a tool, right? And I go, and this isn't, you know, and you share it. You say, listen, I was struggling. I shared it. It cut it in half. It felt better because what that does is it teaches the person that maybe has a little less time than you or a person that has more time. Listen, you can be in this program for a long time and still suffer, right? I see that all the time. People have been here years and they come to meetings every day. They admit they have a problem. Maybe they've had trouble getting into the steps and they're just hanging out, right? And so, but listen, that works too. You just keep hanging and you start to hear things. And I hear that all the time. I know a guy that's got, you know, 7-8 years and he's just starting to get things. Listen, I've been doing this for a minute. I was just sharing last night with my buddy. It's only been in the last few years that I really started to understand this real battle between self and humility. Right? I thought I understood it, but it's becoming clearer. And it's just one more tool we learn. And one more tool that we get to use. And that's just the difference between someone with a lot of time and someone with a little time. And that doesn't even matter, right? The quicker we start to understand, right, this real self-will world, the quicker we start to understand that it's not all alcohol, right? Refraining from drink isn't going to keep you sober. It helps, but we get better. We start, the dents pop back out. The stitches heal, right? The court case is in. And then we're just left with self. And it's tough. And so, you know, my advice, like I said, just keep coming, man. Just keep coming to meetings. Keep sharing. You know, I see people And I've even been guilty of this. You know, my advice, and my advice to that was given to me is, like, leave your cell phone in the car, right? You don't need the cell phone. I do bring my cell phone in sometimes. I try not to look at it. I have looked at it before. If a meeting can get a little boring, I mean, not very often. It has happened. I guess the point is I'm not perfect. But, you know, early on, you know, there's no need for the phone, right? What happens if somebody texts me? You're not that important, right? This is what's important for the hour. You know, a lot of people bring in stuff, you know, documenting how well they're doing for their court cases. Once a court case is over, we don't need that anymore, right? We're over it. We've been sentenced. We're going to do whatever it is we have to do to get through that period of our life, and then we're going to move on. But we don't need to bring in notebooks, right? We don't need to document this anymore. We're sit there and just pay attention and listen. And if you can add something or share experience, strength, and hope, then you share it, right? But we're done promoting self, right? And we're not going to be a victim of it anymore. We're not going to be a victim of our DUI. We're not going to be a victim of our court cases anymore. We are becoming accountable. We recognize that we played a role in this. We are the reason we are here, and we're going to move on. But it's an honest, you really got to decide, right? There is no magic in this program. Sometimes there's magical moments, I think. It feels magical. Sometimes there's moments you're like, wow. Especially early on, man. My life was so down. I was so low that just showing, I mean, just driving down the road not drunk was a miracle for me. That made me feel like I was advanced, right? I am special. Look at me, guys. I'm not driving drunk, right? And it had to be reminded to me that you're not supposed to drive drunk anyway, right? You're just doing normal things. But early on, that felt like it was a magical thing because it was so heavy on my heart to drink and drive and to drink every night. And because most of us that are at that point usually are wishing we weren't, right? Unless you're just completely out there, right? Most of us that drink every day and wake up drunk and have a lot of shit that happens in those periods, most of us are wishing we weren't, right? And so for that wish, that dream to come true was just amazing, right? But a lot of this stuff starts coming back, right? But we have to remind ourselves that it is just normal, right? We are not special people. We're just doing what normal people do, which is, you know, not drink every day and not be a complete asshole and not live on self-will if we can, right? It's a tough one. Yeah, so, you know, there is no magic, right? It's just experience. Take the tools that you use, you know, talk about it in meetings, you know, share your strengths and hopes, your experience, strengths and hopes, and the things you're going through early in recovery, middle of recovery, all recovery, because always somebody's listening. And, you know, you never know when you can help somebody. Let's see if I can read daily reflections. We need a daily reflection today. HP as guide. Higher power as guide. HP as guide. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact of us. I mean, that is, you know, when I started to understand that, you know, my relationship, my actions, you know, my will and my actions had been in the lower power for so long. It can be as simple as just making the decision to go to a meeting, right? That's because there's always the option of not, right? Sharing that you're struggling in the meeting, you know, that lower power is probably telling us not to say anything. Don't say anything. You have nothing to share. You know, when you want to try to be honest and sit there and put what's going on out there, there's usually a voice telling you not to, right? So making those decisions that are the opposite of what we'd have done, you know, 5 years ago, right? And so to me, that's always the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. So for me, at least, you know, making sure my thinking, my actions, and my thinking and my actions are better, right? They're, if they're more in a positive way, that to me, that's a, starting the beginning of a relationship with a higher power. So, yeah, that's always, there's a lot to that, right? That relationship, right? It's personal. That's sort of just my thing. You know, your relationship is your relationship. However that is, enjoy it, learn about it, figure it out. And that was the thing I also said, you know, I don't read books about me. I don't read books about my problem. I try to evaluate what's going on with me and see if I can figure it out. You know, when I'm having trouble, I try to figure out what I'm not getting. What is self, what's self's problem, right? It's usually, you know, it's like doing a four step on it. Like what's going on? I can usually try to figure it out and try to defuse the situation just through other things that I've learned in this program, right? I don't need to, I personally don't, at least not at this moment. Maybe I will one day. I remember when I was struggling, you know, before I'd, I don't know, maybe I just started working with Matt, but I was very lost and very empty. And I remember going to the library searching, right, for a book to give me the answers. And the reality is all the answers are right here, with whether it's the big book, the 12 and 12, As Bill Sees It, you know, all of the answers are there. These books were written specifically for people just like me. And so, and honestly, I've been taught, and those 12 steps are really the answers, right? Those are really the answers. You should be able, with everything that goes on in my life, I should be able to refer to a step and see how that step is working in my life for that situation. You should be able to. I should be able to, right? It just takes time, right? It just takes time to learn it. All right, so that was the Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. Having a right relationship with God seemed to be an impossible order. My chaotic past had left me filled with guilt and remorse, and I wondered how this God business could work. AA told me that I must turn my will, thinking, and my life, actions, over to the care of God, as I understand Him. With nowhere else to turn, I went down on my knees and cried, God, I can't do this. Please help me. It was when I admitted my powerlessness that a glimmer of light began to touch my soul. And then a willingness emerged to let God control my life. With Him as my guide, great events began to happen, and I found the beginning of sobriety. Yeah. Just humble, right? That humble moment where you ask God, I can't do this. I need help. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to You. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to You. Basically saying, I need help, right? I'm not asking for it. I'm just telling you, in my condition right now, I'm not going to be able to handle this. If you want to help me, I appreciate it. If not, I'll keep showing up. But the reality is that in this time, my shoulders aren't big enough, and I'm turning this over to You, which I guess in turn means, hey, God, I need some help. Yeah. Well, listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. My advice to anybody that's new is just keep coming, right? There is a new day, right? Like I talked to my buddy last night. He was all upset and stressed out, and he shared, went to a meeting. He shared about it, and then I talked to him this morning, and he felt a lot better. And I said, all right, well, that was yesterday. Today's today. Let's not be a victim or a hero of yesterday. We don't need to discuss it, right? Unless you go to a meeting and you sit down and you share, listen, yesterday was tough, and this is what I did to help to try to help myself, and this is how what happened, and it helped. Or it didn't help, right? You're trying to help the next alcoholic. You don't need to talk about that stuff at work or with regular humans, right? Because that's just sort of selling or serving self. All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Temperature's dropping. Temperature's dropping. I'm not sure if I can see this ever stopping. Shaking hands with the dark parts of my thoughts. No, you are all that I've got. No, don't fall. Thank you.
on the bishops. Claw away up their system, repeating simple phrases. Someone wholly insisted. Want the markings made on my skin to mean something to me again. Hope you haven't left without me. Hope you haven't left without me. Please. Don't forget us.